Now, does a genius belong in a 4-year-old body? You know, that's to be debated. So you have to take into account what age they are and what age you are. And if you know that you have a specific problem, like if you know that you have a problem with 9-year-olds telling you no, you're going to want to change that before your child turns 9. Right? So there's another thing that I passed out to you that is called once in a blue moon. The problem with most teenagers is that teenagers feel out of control in every area of their life. No matter what they do, it doesn't seem like they can win except hit and miss. So you want to talk to them about how to deal with frustration. And how do you deal with frustration? Acknowledge that it's frustrating. Take a few deep breaths and problem solve. Or admit that there's nothing that can be done. You're just frustrated. So-and-so hates you. You've apologized. You've tried to find another basis for the relationship, and now it's time to just let it go. They just hate you, that's all. It's nothing you did, nothing you can do. They're just on to the next friend, and you're left behind. I mean, these are all very serious crises in a teenager's life. Very serious crises. When somebody doesn't want to hang with them, it is a serious crisis, because teenagers build their life around their peers. They build their life around their peers. It takes 4 days to change a teenager's behavior or any child's behavior, depending on the peer group. You've all had that experience. You've taken your kids down to be with their cousins or next door for a few days where you just hang out, and all of a sudden your child starts changing their behavior in front of your eyes, and you say, well, you're not so-and-so. Why are you acting like them? Because that works for so-and-so. So they're going to try it. They're going to try on everything that they see work. They're going to try it. Because why? They're trying to discover, who am I? Who am I in relationship to this world? Who am I in relationship to this family? Who am I in relationship to myself? Who am I? And who are they largely going to depend on to define that for them? You. The bad news. You. No. No, you talk to her about peer pressure. 7 years old, 6 years old, around the time they start kindergarten is the time to start talking to them about the difference in people, the difference in skin color, the difference in attitude, the difference in age, the differences in people, and how every single person is unique. Every single person is unique. Everybody expresses themselves differently. Everybody looks a little different, and that it's okay to be different. The thing you want your kids to know when they're teenagers is it's okay to be different. I have a nephew, Richie, that I've talked about throughout this whole course because he was a terror and he's totally turned his life around. In Florida, the thing to wear are these big baggy shirts and these big baggy pants, and they're cinched, you know, the Gap look, and the sneakers that are $150. Richie does not wear any of that. So Richie goes to this school. He goes from private school to high school, because we all agree in our family that high school is a very important experience for children. It teaches them socialization. I think it's very important because that's like the real world. That's the majority is going to be in public school. And then you send him to private college. At any rate, Ellen agreed. So she sends Richie to public school. So Richie goes and he's got these tailored blue jeans. He's got cowboy boots. He's got this nice tailored shirt. Everybody else is in baggy. First 2 days, the kids all tease him, and Ellen kept saying, it's okay to be different, Richie. You know, you've got your own style. It's okay to be different. The kid is making fashion statements left and right. Everybody's now in what? Blue jeans with belts, tailored shirts, and cowboy boots. And what do they call Richie? Cowboy. And he has a list of girls who want him to ask them out. A list. This is a kid that nobody could even tolerate. Now all of a sudden has a list because he dared to be different. And he put up with that 1 week of discomfort because she kept telling him, just be yourself. Who cares if they don't like your clothes? You don't want to be around somebody who judges you by your clothes, do you? I mean, is that how you judge your friends? And he'd say, well, no. She'd say, then why would you care? Why would you want to be around somebody who cares what you wear? As long as it's clean, what do you care? You want your teenagers to know that it's all right to be different. And you start that very early. Start that in the younger schools. Yep.
I've had conversations with Danielle about that. Okay, but not
often. No, but one of the things you can do, Danielle's now in puberty, yes? Yeah. Could you acknowledge that? There's a book called My Changing Body. That's a fabulous book. It's very factual, and it's a little funny, and it's made just for kids whose bodies are changing. And it talks about every different part of the body. It talks about the emotions. It talks about what they can expect. It talks about how the body grows. I mean, it gets pretty technical, and they can skip that part if it's too young for them. But it talks about and starts to introduce, and I think that there are three different versions. One's a really young version, like, these are my body parts, this is my penis, and girls have vaginas, and it talks about differences between boys and girls, just basically, and the difference between their emotional age, and all the way up to the very detailed, you know, this is it, this is sex. But there is one basic one that'll at least get them to start asking questions. If children are left to schoolyard talk about sex, it becomes dirty, it becomes humiliating, it becomes something that they have to have that they don't want, it becomes a social pressure, and by the time they're teenagers, they really have no choices. They know that they have to do it, they don't want to do it, they're scared of it, it becomes this whole peer thing. And then you either get into the boys who have to do it real early to prove that they're a man, or you get into the girls who have to do it, you know, we were all teenagers, you know how difficult it is. And so I don't choose to do that, and I don't have any energy about it. No, you're not somebody I want to have sex with. So if you want to give your children choices, you have to give them information. And you have to be that open door, and all that takes is listen, listen, listen. If your children come home and they start talking to you about problems that they have and you are immediately throwing out solutions, they are not going to talk to you. Some of their problems are massive to them, and they can't even articulate what the problem is. They can't tell you. Have you ever had one of those days where everything went wrong and your spouse says to you, "What's the matter, honey?" And you're like, "Forget it. Where do I start? This has been a week of a day. This day has lasted a month. Where do I start? I don't know. I'm not even going to talk about it. It's over." Teenagers can't articulate that. They don't know what's wrong. You know, maybe they just woke up in the morning. "What's wrong, honey? Did you wake up in a bad mood?" Well, obviously, duh. You know, how much intelligence does it take to figure that out? That's where that conversation is going. "Oh, honey, did you wake up? Did you have a dream?" Duh, Mom. So if you think of them as young adults, you'll start thinking about that they do have intelligence, that you don't have to solve every single problem that they have, and that very likely you can't solve a lot of the problems they have, because they can't even articulate to you what the problem is. Okay, when you have decided to, all along we've taught our children responsibility, right? I mean, this whole course has talked about different stages you can take, different steps you can take, different levels of responsibility for your children. As they grow, setting the table is your responsibility. You know, everybody in this house has a responsibility to the quality of life that we have here, and your responsibility is setting the table, and you get to set the table. Okay, so as they grow up, what's the one thing lacking in homes today? Supervision. Supervision. As teenagers, did we want to be supervised? Did we want our mommy calling us on the phone when we get home from school to find out if we were home? No. The first thing you have to determine is your child low, medium, or high level of trust? This could change day to day, but very likely it won't change from one to the other. If it changes, if you have a highly responsible child, that means that they come home, they do their homework, they do whatever they need to do, you know, you call them, not a problem. If you have a high level of child, a high level of responsible child that goes to a low, you've got a peer pressure problem. Somebody that they're hanging with, they shouldn't be hanging with. You don't want them hanging with. Supervision is the most important part of being a teenager. If you have a high level of responsible child, it's going to be different supervision than a low level, right? I mean, if you have a high level responsible child, they don't need you there when they get home from school, right? I mean, you trust that they're going to take care of whatever they need to take care of and that they're going to do their homework and that they're going to be fine, yes? And a phone call will be all the supervision that they need. It depends on the level of trust with your child. I don't recommend children ever be home alone before 15. I don't recommend it. I don't recommend even for an hour that children be home alone. Because I think that it leaves too much to the imagination. I think that when children have a lot of time alone, they create problems for themselves. I think that children deserve to have somebody at home when they get there. You sit around, you're bored, you find something to do. Because you would go from being 4 years old when you got home because you're totally stressed out. By the time your parents got home, you were semi-normal. Or you were totally stressed out. Where have they been? Why are they late? Did they get in a car accident? What time is it? Zero supervision. You're lucky that you didn't get in a lot of trouble. Oh, you did get in a lot of trouble. No supervision will always lead to trouble because kids will find something to get your attention. If you look at the children who are in trouble, they're children who have been unsupervised. Why? What do children want? No. What do children want? They want your attention and they want your approval. If they can't get your attention or your approval, what will they get? Your disapproval. Negative attention. That's right. They know that there's a safety net. So you have to determine whether your child is high, medium, or low level of trust, low level of responsibility. If they're a high level of responsibility, how much supervision do they need? Minimum. Minimum supervision. This means you check in with them. This means that you know where they're going, you know who they're going with, you know what they're doing, and you know how to protect them. How do you do those four things? Asking questions. Now, if they're low level of trust or responsibility, how do you do these things? Are they going to tell you the truth about who they're going with, where they're going? No. So what do you have to do? No. You have to do the thing that you hated that your parents did, and that is check up on them. And you're going to hate it. The first time you do it, you're going to feel terrible. That means you have to call, say, is Michael there? No. Well, do you know where they went? Oh, no, we haven't heard from Michael today. He's with my son somewhere. He said that they were at your house. You have a problem, right? But you want to know if you have a problem. Most parents with teenagers don't want to know if they have a problem. They ask questions. Where are you going? Mom, why do you always have to know where I'm going? Okay, I won't interfere. You're right. You're 14. You're right. You should be able to just go do anything you want to do because you're 14. Go to the mall and hang out with who? Kids. Okay, no problem. You want to go to the mall. You want to hang out with the kids. No problem. You're going to be at the mall, so I know. And what are you going to be doing? Mom, we're going to be hanging out. How many of us would accept that? I probably would. I probably would if I didn't know any better. You have a right to know where your children are, with whom they are, what they're doing, and whether they're protected or not. So if they're going to the mall, what do they need? Supervision. That means what parent is going with you to the mall? Mom, I'm not a baby. This is the hardest part about being an adult of a parent of a teenager, is that you're not going to want to do this. You are not going to want to supervise your children. Why? Yes, you find one parent who's going to the mall with them, and they go shopping while the kids are hanging, and you find out who they're hanging with. Who are my children hanging with? One parent goes, yes. They know who they're hanging with. You want to know who you're... Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not letting my 14-year-old run the street. You go to the mall and you see some of these gangs hanging out, and you don't wonder why there are gangs. You don't wonder how these kids get into gangs. They're there, their mother drops them off. They're going to the movies. Sure, they're going to the movies. Sure, they're going to the movies. They're hanging out. And what are they doing? Hanging out. Making plans for the next hang out. You see, this breeds trouble. Children are extremely creative. This is not good. If they know mom's around the corner, somebody's mom is in this mall. I mean, they'll have their scouts out like we all used to. Ah, she's coming to threat out. But at least they'll know that they're supervised. What do supervised children know? That there are limits and that somebody cares. I used to have a girlfriend named Linda Lewis, and I used to go to her house because her mother didn't care what we did. And it finally dawned on me one day, wait a minute. Her mother doesn't care what we do. What kind of a mother is that that doesn't care? She knew we were hitchhiking. She knew that she'd drop us off and we'd hitchhike right out of where she left us. My mother, man, she'd be in the car. I heard you bought a pack of cigarettes. Give them to me. I'm like, I just bought them 10 minutes ago, Mom. I don't care. Give them to me. Oh, geez. I don't know about that. Linda's mother didn't care. So what wound up happening? Linda and I got in trouble. And then what wound up happening? Who came looking for us when we were missing? Linda's mom or my mom? Linda's mom didn't have a clue where to even look. She didn't even know. She was frantic. She had no idea. She didn't know if we were alive or dead. She didn't know what town to even start hunting for us. And my mother knew right where we'd be because of the supervision. I went from high level of trust to a low level of trust, and she knew within 2 days. She knew that I was in trouble before I knew I was in trouble, and I was in trouble. Thank God she came and got me. So you have to pay attention. Are they high? Are they medium? Are they low? And you have to adjust the supervision accordingly. Now, if you have a highly responsible child, are you going to go to the mall with them every single time? I mean, if you go a few times and you know, okay, that's the group that they're hanging out with, okay, that looks pretty cool, okay. Are you going to go with them to the mall every single time if you have a high level of responsible child? No. If you have a medium, how are you going to treat it?
Surprise visits.
If you have a low surprise visit, you never know what. Now, you remember, I'm due for a surprise visit here, Luca. If you have a low level of responsible child, what do? Supervise 24 hours a day. Supervision, 24 hours a day. Will they like it? No. No. What difference does it make whether they like it or they don't like it? Dennis?
What do you do if they're hanging out with somebody you don't want to hang out with?
You don't let them hang out with them. Just what you didn't want to hear. They'll hang out with them. Afterwards, they won't. Now, how do you explain that? You can't pick my face. You can't tell me who to pick. You can't tell me what to do. Oh, yes, I can, Bella. Yes, I can. You may hate me for 2 years, but yeah, I can. And I will. Why? What is your job as a parent of a teenager? Protect them. Does she have a highly responsible child? Medium. Is your son highly responsible or medium? Medium. All mischief starts out as silly. So is she right or are you right? Does she see your son differently than you? As more responsible than you see him. But she's in the mall. All right, is that appropriate for a medium-level trusting child? Parents, what do the kids have to do? They hang. They hang. Oh, it's the place to hang. They hang and they show themselves off and they... That's what they do, they hang. And they plan what they're going to do on Friday night, and they determine whose house it's going to be at, and who's out of town, and who's in town, and all the things they can't do at school because they're supervised to do at the mall. And they'll come home that night, and they'll say, Mom, Jimmy's having a party on Friday night. Can I go? And what do you say? Are his parents going to be there? These are all questions you're going to hate to ask. You're not going to want to ask. You're going to want, because we as teenagers thought that we were adults, that we should make our own decisions, that we should be in control of our own destiny. You're not going to want to ask these questions. You're going to feel very strict and very restrictive, but you have a right and a responsibility to know where your children are, with whom they're with, what they're doing, and if they're safe. So you have to determine if you want a child who hangs out or if you want a child who has structured activity. If you have a child who is medium or low trustability, they don't have enough to do. They do not have enough to do. So what can you do with them? How can you change a peer group? If you don't like the peer group that they're in, how can you change them into another peer group? Put them in different activities. Put them in a church group. Put them in a YMCA. Put them in the boys' club. Give them something to do that's going to boost their self-esteem so that they can raise from low to medium to high responsibility. Any child who has low or medium trust level means that they have bad self-esteem. They do not have a good self-esteem. They do not know how to say no. Why? Maybe they're too young. Maybe they're emotionally younger than they are physically. Maybe they're in the wrong peer group. That's your job to find out. Why are they low level of trust? What is going on? And how do you do that? If you ask them, what are they going to say? Who are you hanging out with, Rose? What are you going to say?
Where were you today?
Uh-huh.
The library
starting. Yeah.
And it was generally a follow-up to it. Until we bring them all, and she'd be like, no talking.
And so you'd bring the people home.
Yeah, but I used to
do this. So I wouldn't say that your mother had a high level. I wouldn't say that your mother had a high level of supervision, if that's true.
No.
I wouldn't say she's as strict as you think she is. She might have been smarter than you know.